Okay, so this presentation is about TCLBridge.net, which is the new and improved TCLBridge for specifically designed. Actually, it's written in .NET, and it's designed to integrate with .NET. So I'm Joe Mustashkin, a software engineer. I'm a maintainer, and I'm author of TCLBridge, which I wrote like 5 years ago and have been working on ever since. And we're going to be talking about several ways to integrate TickleTK with .NET. So any .NET programming language, C#, VB.NET. I choose VB.NET because it's personal preference, but you can use whatever you want. So previously, prior to .NET, it was a little bit difficult to integrate TickleTK with Microsoft RAD environments such as Visual Basic 6, IE, VBScript, and those types of COM-based environments, because there was no real native COM support in Tickle, and there was no support for calling the TCLC API from any of those languages because of the incompatible calling conventions and or other complexities such as, you know, memory management and so forth. So now with .NET, it actually adds some functionality to the runtime that allows it to do some things so that it can actually more easily talk to the TCLC API. So a couple topics. TCL runtime resources, so you know, interpreters, objects, things like that. Threading models, TCL threading model versus .NET threading model. Client applications and server applications, and then the demo and future directions. So interpreter lifetime. Tickle interpreters are created and exist until they're deleted or until the end of the process. Tickle objects can be created either implicitly or explicitly and exist until they are no longer needed or until they're deleted. And similar with strings. And Tickle strings are typically UTF-8 or Unicode, either with lengths or or null terminated. So in terms of threading models, Tickle interpreters are tied to the thread that created them and can only be used from that thread safely. So that differs from COM threading, where you can use a COM object from any thread because it goes through marshalling and it automatically figures out what it needs to do in order to actually make that happen. Okay, so in client applications, you can, you know, some considerations are, you know, how is it going to be, you know, a web application, or is it going to be, you know, like a TK GUI, which is more of a thick client, although less thick than other client applications? Or a server application, such as a web application, where it can't necessarily maintain state, or at least not a lot of state, in order to be scalable. Okay, so now we're going to start the demonstration. And the first demonstration is a basic sample application that uses TCLBridge.net. So this is a very simple demonstration, basically. So first of all, you can obviously evaluate Tickle scripts. My favorite is clock seconds. Nice, easy demo. Okay. So secondarily, I wanted to demonstrate the fact that this is a bidirectional functionality in both the classic and .NET versions. So as you can see here, I've got some arrays that define. Can anybody not see that? Want me to increase the font size? Everybody sees that? Okay, much bigger. Okay, so we have a list of Tickle commands we're going to add and the corresponding .NET methods on a .NET object. And in the initialization code for this particular form, and this doesn't have to be a form, it could be any .NET object, but in this case I chose a form because it has a nice, you know, makes sense because, you know, people are going to typically, if they do a client application, they'll have a form. So the initialization looks something like this. You create a new scripting object, which is analogous to creating a, well, analogous to loading TCL, basically, and then a new, what I call a bridge object, which actually handles communication back to .NET from Tickle. And then you create an interpreter, and you can create, you know, as many as you want, as you would expect. And then what I do is I go through and I actually go through those arrays and create and call create command for this particular interpreter and then for each of the commands. So I'm creating about 5 commands, I think, for this. And each of the commands can do pretty much whatever it wants, including evaluate Tickle scripts, which call back into themselves or not. So let's actually demonstrate that. So there's a little progress bar on this. I don't know if anybody can see, everybody can see that, but this big box right here is a progress bar, which is a .NET progress bar. So let's actually make that do something. See, as you can see, it actually went through and did that. And I can sort of demonstrate how that worked. So if you look at the call stack here, actually I guess the font's really small on that, sorry. But I click the evaluate button, which involved some magic, and then eventually right about in here is where Tickle got called, and then Tickle called into a special dispatcher, which then in turn calls this particular object, and it passes it a variety of strategically important arguments, such as the Tickle object and interpreter and so forth. And then from in here, you can pretty much do what you want. In this case, it's just setting the progress bar value. So this actually will create a new form. So in this case, I had the command do something totally different. It actually created another version of this form. So each of these forms actually is getting its own interpreter and its own set of commands. So let's do everyone's favorite TK test. Tetris. Still a classic. So as you can see, Tetris is running. This is running in process, in the .NET process. There are still a little couple of fine points I need to work out to get TK to totally be fully robust in this environment, but more or less it works pretty well. So there's that. And then what else was I going to demonstrate? Oh, I see. Yeah, so this close, actually, close. I can't type. Close form. Oh. Okay. That closes the form. That's just a demonstration that you can actually remove the form from Tickle. It's basically interesting tests. Okay, so that ends this part of the demonstration. This application is not real sophisticated. It was just designed to demonstrate the basic functionality. So now we're going to look at another application that was developed with TCLBridge.net, which is actually a web application. So this application is a server web application, and it uses primarily it uses Tickle in the capacity to be able to actually dynamically build web pages. And this actual application is written in .NET, and then it has sections of the web pages which are Tickle scripts which get evaluated on the fly. Oh, wait a minute. This thing likes to have a network, even if it doesn't work. Okay. So pages like this, this is totally constructed dynamically. It's not real beautiful, but it was functional. So what happens is there's various things that happen. There's templates, which are basically text files, which contain Tickle scripts. And those scripts are evaluated and constructed dynamically. Let's see. So like, here's an example of something that you would see on that kind of page. These little sections with that are delimited by, I should actually increase the font size. I can't see it. View. Increase font size. Okay. So these are TCL commands right here. And they just get into, so this one actually happens for each row of the table. It's actually calling these for every row. And there's also ones that get called at other strategic points in the construction of the page, such as the page header, you know, the script header, that kind of stuff. So one of the interesting things about this is, since this is a multi-user application, how do you handle interpreter lifetime? So what I did was, the interpreter is actually tied to their session ID. So every person who logs in gets their own interpreter. And those interpreters remain as long as the session isn't timed out. And then for each request, the interpreter actually is sort of reused. So actually what happens is the variables are cleaned out and it's reused without deleting it and recreating it. Okay. I think we can have questions and answers now. Anybody have any questions? Ron?
That form that are the buttons TK controls? Or
no, they're just those are just images. Yeah. They just look like buttons. Yes. If you click it, it doesn't depress. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry if you mentioned this and I missed it, but what is the advantages of this versus TCOM, and what are the shortfalls versus this versus TCOM?
Okay. Well, TCOM is designed primarily to allow you to, A, create COM objects in Tickle, and B, access COM objects from Tickle. I don't believe it handles native .NET objects. In other words, .NET objects which have no COM interop and which have no COM interfaces. So this would have an advantage over that. Plus, you know, you can't. It's designed for stuff like package require, where you're actually running a Tickle script, you require it, and then you use it. Whereas this is more, you have a .NET application which you want to make scriptable. In this case, a web application or the client one I showed you, and it has, you know, functionality which it wants to expose to Tickle and just be able to script it, such as automating any application. Anybody else?
Is this being used in any commercial projects?
Well, this was sort of a commercial project, but not other than by me. No, it's not actually quite available yet. It's not quite ready for prime time. It's pretty close.
What do you see needing before it's ready for prime time?
I need to fix more core bugs. Particularly in TK, in terms of threading issues and lifetime issues. Anybody else?
Do you see it as being ready for prime time in the same time frame as when 8.5 is final?
Definitely. Yeah, it'll be ready. It'll probably be ready before that. It's actually using 8.4 right now. But it will have the capability to use. It'll be eventually be stubs enabled. You'll be able to use whichever version you want. So it's using 8.4.11 right now. Anybody else? Anyone?